And Jack's here. Wonderful. So Laura and Jack, if you could come up here. Wonderful. So we are going to be reading from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 23. So Jack and Laura are going to read that for us. It's on page 312 in the Black Bible. So if you have one, please do turn to it. So, Brill.
Once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city.
When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" He answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids to the land of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jack and Laura. That was excellent reading. Chris is now going to come and speak to us on that passage.
Thanks very much, Katie. Charlotte, I know that you like performing arts, okay? When I was in my teenage years in the 1990s, I used to dance a lot. No good, but one of the songs was this one. If you're from the 1990s, please join in with me. No, 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 no. Great, okay. Those profound lyrics shaped a generation. There's no limit. It's not true, is it? We know there's a limit. Every time I go to the Man's Inn for an eat as much as you can buffet, there's a limit. And I'm disappointed because I always put my elasticated waist on and I think this time I'm going to be there for 6 hours and they're going to have to ask me to leave. It doesn't work. There's a limit to how much I can eat. Unfortunately, my children yesterday found us are limited to daddy's resources. Okay, boys and girls, when you go to the fair, your mum and dad don't have a money tree and they don't shake it and they can't let you go on everything because money is limited, okay? And we also know, don't we, that other things are limited. Our patience is limited quite often. Time is limited. But what I want to talk to you about today is this passage that we just had so beautifully read talks about a God who is unlimited. A God who is unlimited. And I think what we're going to learn about God today is what we need for 2016. So here we go. The first thing we're going to learn is the God of unlimited knowledge. Now, do you see what happened? It was quite a funny scenario, wasn't it? Over this side, you've got the king of Syria, and he's coming up with these plans. He wants to get Israel. He wants to destroy them. He wants to defeat them. But then Elisha, he's telling the king of Syria everything that's going on. Now, I don't know if you've seen Star Wars, The Force Awakens, but there's a guy in it called Kylo Ren. And Kylo Ren has the ability to get information from people's heads, but he has to do it when he's really close to them. Elisha, he's not even in the same city. Elisha's well over here, and he's be able to read the mind of the king of Syria. What on earth is going on? Well, we hear that Elisha is the prophet of God. He's the prophet of the God of unlimited knowledge. Not like the person in the cafe that I heard about. Their order came over. They looked at their sandwich and said, it's bacon. I hate bacon. And the waiter said, but you did order a BLT. And the person said, I thought the B stood for bread. You see, that's limited knowledge. That's limited knowledge. The God of the Bible has unlimited knowledge. Now, let's be honest for a moment. It doesn't really impress us, God's unlimited knowledge. Because of the, let me just get in my pocket here. Because of these things, smartphones. You see, we have a smartphone now and we think we have unlimited knowledge. We think that we can find out any information that we want at any time. Google makes us godlike. And we also think, don't we, because of our smartphones and because of social media, we can find out what people are doing at any part of the day. Now, let me just tell you, okay, there's some things on social media that we don't need to know. I don't need to know how far you've cycled. I don't need to know what you've had for your dinner. And I certainly don't need reminding of the noise you eat at dinner time. What's nom, nom, nom anyway? That is ridiculous. See, when we think we're like God, we no longer think God is special in any way. But here's the difference between ourselves and God. God is able to see behind the curtain of our lives. Well, let me put it in a Nutsford illustration to help you think. God is able to see behind the big walls and the automatic gates. You see, in that Bible passage, it tells us that God was able to see or knew what the king of Syria was thinking in his bedroom. How terrifying is that, by the way? You see, God knows all our secrets. God knows the things that excite us. God knows the things that make us fearful. God knows. He knows our true self. He can see past that pretend version that we like to portray on social media. God knows how we speak to our kids. God knows how he speaks to our work colleagues. God knows how we speak to our friends down the pub. And God knows every single website we visited. There is no clear history with God. God knows everything because he is the God of unlimited knowledge. Now, before you start crying in the chair and shaking uncontrollably, let me tell you that this is a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful truth because the Bible teaches not only are we fully known by God, but we're also fully loved. You see, when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross, he didn't send them for perfect people. He sent Jesus to the cross for people like me and for people like you. And when we get hold of this truth, it makes a massive difference. Because when we know that we're fully known and we're fully loved, we no longer have to try and impress people. We can just be ourselves. Because if the God of the Bible knows everything about us and loves us, it doesn't matter what other people think. You are free to be you. You see, the first truth we need to remember is God is a God of unlimited knowledge. Do you know this God? Because my friend, he knows you. And then the second point this passage tells about is he's the God of unlimited power. So the king of Syria, he hears about Elisha frustrating his plans, and he sends his best fighters to get Elisha, to arrest him, to put him in prison. So he sends him to Dothan. And Elisha and his friend is there. I think we might have a picture of what it might have looked like. So we've got this bald prophet. There we go. And the servant, scared, waiting for the king. It looks like something from Dad's army, doesn't it? Now, when Elisha is in a pickle, what does Elisha turn to? Elisha turns to prayer. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you pray. But before I became a Christian at the age of 23, I prayed. And I prayed especially when my mum got breast cancer. Why did I pray then? Because when times of trouble come on, we want to ask the God of unlimited power to change our circumstances. Even if we ignore that God for the rest of our time, in those times of trouble, we want to pray to the God who we hope has unlimited power. You see, God answers Elisha's prayers in a strange way. An army of angels come, and they are behind the Syrian army. Only Elisha and the servant can see it. Maybe it looked like this. Or maybe, that's the third one. Great, thanks. Okay, a bit fast for me. Oh, here's another one. Another one. We got another one. And there should be another picture there. Come up. Okay. But God has unlimited power, and his limited power is invisible. It's invisible. Now, how can that be? How can you have power that's invisible? Is it a contradiction? Well, just think about some of the things that we equate power with today. Electricity. Sometimes you can see it, can't you? Wind. Wind's a power. What about currents in the sea? You can't see that, can you? But what about this one? What about love? Love is a power we cannot see, and yet we feel deep in our souls. Everybody in love, put your hands up. Great, okay. I was dying to say that. JLS, here we go. Yes, we're all about JLS today. Sorry, I lost where I'm up to now. So it's not unusual that a power is invisible. But this is the thing, God doesn't just leave us guessing about this invisible power. Because if we want to know God's power in tangible, concrete forms, we just look at Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God come in the flesh. Now that might sound a bit mad, didn't it? How did God become into the flesh? But just think about some of the things that Jesus did. He gave the blind sight, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk. That doesn't sound like a normal guy, does it? I didn't see anyone yesterday been able to perform those miracles outside. No, Jesus is able to do this because he is God in the flesh. He is human, but with God's power. And where do we see Jesus' power the most? At the resurrection. Jesus dies a brutal death on the cross, and 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. It shows that death's power has been defeated. It shows us that there is life after death. There is a better life, a life free from pain and heartache, a life lived with him in heaven. You see, unfortunately, at the moment, a day, a week doesn't go by, does it, when we have a celebrity death in the news? And these deaths make us sad because we've grown up appreciating the work of these celebrities, whether it's David Bowie, Alan Rickman, Prince, Ronnie Corbett, Victoria Wood. And these deaths, what do they remind us of? They remind us that death is real. These deaths ask the question of every one of us. Are we ready for what's to come next? You see, the God of unlimited power is our only hope. So do you know him? Do you know the God of unlimited power? Because he's our only hope when death comes. Now we're just going to pause there for a moment because we've thought about two things. We thought about the God of unlimited knowledge. He knows you and loves you. We've heard about the God of unlimited power. And we're going to think about the God of unlimited grace in a moment. And to do that, we're going to sing a children's song. But it's a children's song with great theological truths. It says, grace is when God gives us the things we don't deserve. So why don't we stand up and we'll sing this song together.